Last time we learned the simple understanding of the 22nd chapter of Tehillim. And we mentioned that we still have to come back to that chapter to learn what our sages teach us, how this pasuk, how these psukim, how this chapter is in truth a reference to the ordeal that Esther underwent. Before we begin, let's remind ourselves of the story of the book of Esther. We have a young girl who is orphaned from both her parents and is adopted by her uncle, Mordechai. The king has a wife, Vashti, and at some point he has a party. He asks Vashti to come in. Vashti doesn't come in. He has Vashti removed. And then he makes a pageant searching for a new wife. Esther is forcibly taken to his harem, and then he chooses her to be his queen. She refuses to reveal her nationality, as her mentor Mordechai instructs her. And when Haman rises to power and sees that Mordechai refuses to bow to him, he convinces Ahasuerus, who is more than willing to agree to decree to annihilate all of the Jewish people. At which point Mordechai tells Esther, come before the king. And Esther says, it is against the custom. I'm not supposed to come when I'm not invited, and I risk getting killed. And Mordechai tells her, you know, if you think that because you're in the palace, you're going to make it out alive from this decree, God's going to save the Jews one way or another. But you will lose if you don't stand up for the Jewish people now. And Esther says, okay, I'll go, but first institute 3 days of fasting and prayer and tshuva. The Jewish people should prepare. And then, on the third day, Esther goes before the king. We have on tradition that the king really wanted to kill her when she came for doing something so disrespectful as initiating conversation with him. And God makes her find favor in his eyes. She invites him to a party. At that party, he asks her, what do you want that you made this party? And she says, come tomorrow and I'll finally tell you what nation I'm from and I'll tell you what I want. That night the king can't sleep. Haman comes before him. He wants to hang Mordechai. The king has just read in his records that Mordechai saved his life and he's never been repaid. And the king tells Haman that he's supposed to lead Mordechai throughout the streets, chanting that Mordechai is the chosen one, that he's helped the king, and that's why he's getting all this honor. And then Haman comes to the feast the second night, and Esther declares that he wants to murder her and her nation, and Ahasuerus ultimately has him hung. Mordechai is placed over the house of Haman, and the Jews take revenge from those that wanted to kill them. That's in a nutshell, skipping many details, the story of Purim. In looking at Jewish history, we find no time throughout Jewish history that was as dark and bleak as the days of Haman. Those days when the Jewish people were under one king, there were no Jews under any other king. We were all under Ahasuerus' reign. He had the power to annihilate us, and he decreed so. Esther has two names, Esther and Hadassah. Esther comes from the word setel. She lived her life in hiding. She hid initially so she wouldn't be abducted. And within the harem she hid, she didn't want to be chosen. And when she became married to Ahasuerus, she left a life of hiding. She's not revealing that she's Jewish. Esther, she's all about being hidden. Esther was a very pious woman. She was orphaned at childbirth. She had no parents. And she was put to the most difficult test one can imagine. Taken away from her adoptive father, her uncle, brought into a totally secular palace, forced to live with this king night after night, day after day. She has to be there for him. And here she grew up with the stories of, she's learned the Torah, she knows what Chazal taught us about how when Sarah was abducted for one night, God sent an angel. When Rivka was almost abducted, God didn't let that happen. Dina was abducted after once the Shimon and Levi took revenge from the whole city. And here she is, A woman who is so pious that she merits to have nevuah prophecy. She is one of our seven prophetesses. And night after night, this RL gets away with what he wants, and nothing's happening. For years, she's living in this palace, a life of misery. And then the time comes that there's a decree against the Jewish people. And Mordechai tells her, now you initiate contact with this man. You initiate this evening being together. And she says, I'm going to get killed. Esther was in the palace. And this verse, this chapter of Tehillim revolves around Esther. Let's begin the chapter. We're holding the 22nd chapter. Lamnatzeach to the conductor al ayelet ashachar, to the power of the morning. The rabbis were once traveling, and they saw out of the darkness the light started breaking forward. And they commented, they said, so is the redemption of the Jewish people. Just as the night ends, the light starts slowly. You see a little bit less darkness, a little bit less. Till finally you see light at the horizon, but you don't see the sun. And then when the sun comes out, then it just breaks all ground and all darkness is abolished. So too the redemption. Slowly, slowly, first from the darkness, you see some faint light. And then a little bit more, and then suddenly the sky gets filled with light. And then it reaches a point where it's just expanding and expanding, and the sun breaks forward, a song to David. And this is a reference to the redemption. Initially, everything's bad. And then, when things seem like they can't get worse, Esther is almost killed. She has to initiate conversation with Ahasuerus. There's a turning point. Ahasuerus comes to the party. Haman thinks things are in his favor. He sets up the tree. And that night, things are going to start going downhill for Haman and uphill for us. That night, Haman comes in. Ahasuerus asks him the question. He becomes responsible to walk Mordechai around saying, this is what's done to the man that the king wants, his honor. And Haman starts going down, 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 down until that night he's going to be killed. And then Mordechai is going to be established on his home. And our victory follows step after step. Yeah.
But Esther never really escaped that.
And so Esther says in the second verse, Eli, Eli, my potent one, my God, lama azavtani, why have you left me? We see two things in Esther's sentence. We see on the one hand she says, God, you've forsaken me. When Sarah was in Pharaoh's house, you didn't let her suffer like me. Twice Sarah was abducted, and twice she made it out. And she was never, never subjected to what I'm being subjected night after night. But we also see the beginning of Esther's sentence. She begins and says, Eli, my God, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of my suffering, I refer to you, God, as my God, Eli. Esther is going to say Eli three times in this verse. And the three times correspond to the three mitzvot that God gave women. And in her prayer, Esther turns to God and says, you gave me three mitzvot. Chana is the Rashi Tevos, the acronym for these three mitzvot. Chala, Nida, Adlakas, Aner. Even here in this house of this wicked person, have I forgone one of them? Elohai. Yeah.
Esther, why did she marry Ahasuerus? I know that it was directed by Hashem that she should marry Ahasuerus, but she wasn't a prophetess. If she didn't have Hashem tell her that, it would be okay to marry Ahasuerus. But she did it anyway. Is that
discussion we'll have Bezrat Hashem Sunday night when we learn the Megillah.
Also, like that's what you said that why was Hashem doing this to her after she was in, after Sarah was in captured and held captive twice, and nobody ever touched her. Isn't it a bit wrong in a sense to compare herself to Sarah?
That's why I stressed that she was on such a high level. She was on a high level. She wasn't an ordinary tzaddikess. She was a tzaddikess who was a prophetess. She was from the top seven women in Jewish history. We are in the 22nd chapter, the second verse. Yeah, right. And the next pasuk starts, Elohai. Elohai is my God, just like Eli. Rachok mishuati divrei shagati. I roar and I seem to be so distant from salvation. Elohai, my God, ekra yomam, I call by day velo ta'aneh, and you're not answering. Velaila, and at nights velo dumiali, I am not silent either. From here we derive that the Jews were wailing day and night. They thought they were all going to be annihilated. And in correspondence to that, it was instituted that we read the Megillah by day and by night. V'ata kadosh, and I know, Esther says, in spite of my suffering, you are holy. Yoshev Tilot Israel, you're the one who is always the praise of Israel. Well, now save the Jewish people. You could only continue being kadosh Yoshev Tilot Israel if you let Israel continue. You, Hashem, you're known as the one who is praised by Israel. Well, then Israel has to have a continuum. Becha batchu avoteinu, I know, Esther says, our forefathers had faith in you. Batechu, they had faith, vatefalateimu, and you redeemed them. When is Esther saying all of this? So, there were 3 days of fasting. 3 days of prayer. She, her girls, they're all fasting and prayer in anticipation of this day when she will have the gall to come before the king uninvited. And the first day, she calls out, Eli, my God, help us. The second day, she calls out, Eli, my God, help us. And the third day, she ends the sentence and says, Lama azavtani. Why have you forsaken me? And when she lets up her voice loudly and says, why have you forsaken me? God answers her right away. She turns to God and says, our forefathers, what did they have going for them? They cried out to you and you listened. What's worse, their situation or ours? In their situation, Pharaoh said, the sons get thrown to the Nile, but the daughters live. Haman said, everyone gets killed. Pharaoh said, whoever doesn't finish their work, their quota for the day, will put him inside the building. He'll be instead of the cement he should have created. But whoever finished their work would live to see the next day. Haman decreed that everyone gets killed. And yet those in Egypt, when they called out to you, you heard them right away. But we fasted 3 days, we've prayed, and you've yet to answer us. If we have no good deeds, then do it for the sake of your holy name. V'ata kadosh, you are holy, Yoshev Tilot Israel. Lama azavtani, why have you forsaken me? When the Torah tells us, if we slaughter an animal, we cover its blood. If we slaughter an animal, we're not allowed to slaughter its offspring on that day. If we're going to take a bird, we're not allowed to take the bird and its fowl together. The Egyptians, as bad as they were to us, they merited to be buried. But us, now they're talking about killing all of us in one day. No one's talking about any burial. When the temple was destroyed, no one bothered burying us. Lama azavtani, why have you forsaken me so? Mordechai had told Esther, don't think you're going to get away by being inside the palace, because if you'll be silent, then There'll come a redemption mimakom acher, from a different place. What's the different place? That's Yisrael Nosha Hashem. Hashem is our source of rescue. You have the potential to be the rescuer today. If you don't do it, we'll be rescued from somewhere else. Umi yodem, Mordechai concludes with the softening of tone. He says, who knows? Im le'et kazot igat la'malchut. Maybe this is the reason you're in that position altogether. Maybe that's why you're there. This is why God put you there. And from here we learn there, Acheretz, that even when you have to rebuke someone, you rebuke with one hand and you pull close with the other hand. So you rebuke with the weaker hand and you bring close with the stronger hand. So that's why Mordechai, at the same time he tells her, don't think you're going to get away with this. We're all going to die and you're going to live. He's rebuking her, and at the same time he says, and who knows, maybe this is your purpose there. Maybe this is your hour. They fast for 3 days, and the Jewish people have gathered. Why are they fasting? Esther tells them, fast because you wait for Ahasuerus' feast. Fast for 3 days because we have a tradition that God doesn't leave the Jewish people in trouble for more than 3 days. And this tradition begins with Avram. God tells Avram, take your son and bind him, bring him up for an olah on top of a mountain. Avram starts traveling the next morning. He's traveling 3 days. He's in Atzara. But on that third day, the Tzara ends. On that third day, he goes up and God tells him, no, it's not what I meant. Yosef's brothers, they come before Yosef and he tells them, you're spies. Puts them all in jail for 3 days, but not more.
Why we don't fast in 3 days?
I don't know. We do behab. Behab is similar to 3 days. After the holidays, we have a fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. So some say that's how they fasted. Some say they fasted 3 days, but not the nights. When we traveled in the desert and we ran out of water, it was only for 3 days. Then we got water. Chizkiyoh, when he got ill, God told him on the third day you'll go up. And Rachav told the spies, wait 3 days and then you'll return. This way you won't bump into the enemies. And Yonah, when he was in the fish suffering, he was there for 3 days. Hosea also says, Yichayenu miyumayim bayom ha-shlishi yikimenu. That's why when Esther decrees that we should have a fast, she decrees it for 3 days. Three is the limit. And that's why she's called Ayelet HaShachar, the power of the morning, because she brought us the morning out of the darkness. We were in darkness in her time, she brought us to the morning. Esther says, okay, I'll go. And what happens is, we'll continue here. Bechabatru avotemo, she says, our forefathers had faith in you, batru, they had faith, vatefaletemo, and you took them out. Why did you take them out? Why did they make it out when they called out to you? Because eilecha zaku venimnatu, they yelled to you and they escaped. They escaped Mitzrayim. Why? Because bechav vatechu velo voshu, they had faith in you and they weren't ashamed of it. That's the key. When a person has faith, very often there are reasons not to have faith. People say, well, wait a second, how do you answer this and how do you answer that? Why is this happening and why is that happening? We don't have all the answers. But the key, why did the Jews make it out of Egypt? Esther's revealing to us, because our forefathers had faith and they weren't embarrassed. And I, v'anochi tolat v'lo ish, I'm a worm, I'm not even a human. They look at me just like people are disgusted with a worm, so too the nations are disgusted with Jews. Chirpat adam uvzuyam. We're a disgrace to humanity. Humanity looks at us and says, they are disgraceful. Kol ro'ai olu simi yaliguli. They make fun of me. Yaftiru v'safa yaniru rosh. They look scoffingly upon me. Golel al donai yefaleteyu. But I turn, I leave over my worries to Hashem and He lets me get out. Yatzileu ki chafetz bo. Hashem saves the person, the Jews, because He really wants us. Ki ata gochi mibetin. You're mibatin. You're the one I rely on from my mother's womb. I was in my mother's womb and my father died, Esther says. Mavtichi al shdei imi. And then I was born and at childbirth my mother died. I had no parents. Who's going to take care of me? You took care of me. You were the one who ensured al shdei imi that when I don't have my mother's bosom to to nurse from, I have someone else to nurse from. Mordechai's wife fed me. Now, look at the level of Esther. She says, Alecha, upon you, God, hoshlachti, I was sent, mirachem, from the womb, mi beten imi, from my mother's stomach, eili ata. That's what you wanted, the third eili. Could be this is the third time. You know, someone else in this situation would say, God, you made my life miserable. I bad enough, my father died before I ever saw him. My mother died the minute I was born. And now, that's not enough. I have to live a life in the palace under abduction. Esther doesn't say that. Esther looks at the fact that she didn't die when she was born. Esther looks at the same facts, and what she sees is that God was there for her. She says, hey, there's no one there to feed me. I could have died. God, you ensured that I'd have milk. You're the one I rely on from my mother's womb. It's a question of perspective. That's the perspective of the tzedekes. The perspective of the tzedekes is, I am a worm, just like the worm's power is in its mouth. It can destroy a whole tree. It eats away at the tree, and now the tree rots. The tree is much bigger than it. So to we, the Jewish people, our power isn't our might. It's our mouth, like the worm. So Esther says, I'm relying on you, Hashem. I'm going to learn from my forefathers. They made it because even when things were bad, they said, we're relying on Hashem. Esther ends the 3 days and begins her procession towards Ahasuerus. One understanding has it that as she approached, she felt the Shekhinah leaving her. Suddenly she felt alone. And at that moment she turned her eyes to heaven and said, now? Eli, Eli, lama azavtani. Why have you left me now, God? And the Shekhinah returned. That's when she began this verse. That's when she began this chapter. Another understanding has it that when she was approaching Achashverosh, so there were 7 chambers she had to pass in order to stand before Achashverosh. She entered the first 3 and then entered the 4th. And Achashverosh looked up and saw her in the 4th chamber. And his anger flared. He started gritting his teeth. And he said, oh, how much I wanted Vashti. I wanted her to come, and she didn't come. Whoa, I miss her. She was so much better. Such a pity. This one, she's a slut. I didn't ask her to come. And now look at her. She's coming in of her own accord. So Esther's standing there in the 4th chamber, and she sees Ahasuerus gritting his teeth. And she sees his anger. And she sees the end is near. The guards see his anger and they realize he wants her dead. So there are the guards from the first chamber and they can't touch her because she's past the first 3 chambers which they're responsible for. The guards at the end of the chambers, they can't touch her because they're responsible for the last 3 chambers. She's standing in the middle one, the 4th. And that is why she turned her eyes to heaven and said, Al tirchak mimeni. God, don't be distant from me now. Ki tzara kerova. Because the danger is really near. Ki en ozer. There's nothing here to help me. Sivavuni parim rabim. All of the aristocracy has surrounded me. Abirei Vashan Kitruni, the sons of Haman, are just waiting for me to fall. The powerful ones have surrounded me. Patsu alai pihem, and they've started speaking about me. Aryeh Toref Veshoeg. On top of all that, I have to suffer Achashverosh, who treats me like a lion, that a lion feels his prey after he devours it. So too Achashverosh treats me like a lion. Kamaim nishpachti, I feel like I've been pouring out like water. V'itpaldu kol atzmotai, my bones have fallen apart. Hayali bi chadonag, my heart is like wax, names betoch me'ai, that's melted into my innards. Yavesh kacheres kochi, Esther says, my strength is dry like earthenware that's completely without any liquids. Ulshoni, and my tongue is so dry, mudbak mal kochai, is stuck to my tongue. I'm in a situation where I don't keep the Torah shebichsav, I don't keep the Torah shebaal peh, v'la'afar mavet ishpeteini, and I'm like a pitcher that's on the ground, I'm like an oven that's on the ground, that whoever passes puts their pots on that oven. So too I feel like I'm hefker. I don't have control what Ahasuerus does with me. Kisivavuni klavim, I'm surrounded with dogs, the sons of Haman. Adat mereim hikifuni, congregation of friends, they're all buddy buddy with Haman and they're surrounding me. Haman wants Ahasuerus to marry his daughter. He's just looking for a way to bump me off. Ka'ari yadai v'raglai, they've done sorcery to make my hands and feet be disgusting, and it's only your Nes Hashem that made my hands and feet look nice in the eyes of Ahasuerus. Ka'ari yadai v'raglai, our sages say that raglai also means because of me. Esther says, when Ahasuerus killed Vashti, all the nations rebelled against him. He lost his power in the world. He used to rule over the whole world, and he lost it all when he murdered Vashti. And when he married me, in that merit, God allowed him to conquer 127 countries. And then when he made Ahasuerus in charge of everything, he again ruled over the world. Asaper kol atzmotai, hema yabitu yiruvi. I tell over what's happening with me. They all look at me, and they're taking a close look, analyzing me. Yechalekuv gadai lahim. They all figure I'm a dead man now, God. They're already discussing. This one says, I want to inherit this garment she's wearing. The other one says, and I'm going to inherit the throne. They're already dividing everything. As far as they're concerned, I'm finished. V'alevushi apilu goral, they draw lots over my wardrobe. They're sure that she's dead. And Esther is pretty sure that she really needs God to save her now. V'ata Hashem, and you Hashem, al tichak, don't be distant from me now. Eyaluti, you are my strength. Le'ezrati chusha, rush to my assistance. You, so to speak, jumped quickly like a ram to save our forefathers at the sea, so to be swift to come and help me. And at that moment that she said that, an angel came down from heaven and smacked Ahasuerus' mouth and said, Russia, your beloved is standing outside and you're sitting here inside. The pasuk doesn't say vayhi bir'ot, when the king saw her she found favor in his eyes, but rather kir'ot, when he was forced to see. Initially she didn't find any favor in his eyes, he was ready to have her executed too, but the angel forced him to see her in a good eye. Hatzileni mecherev nafshi miyad kelev yechidati, Esther says, save me from the sword, save my soul from the dog. Hoshieni mipeaye, save me from the mouth of that lion. Umikalnei mimaniteni, for you've answered me from the horns of that great animal called the re'im. It's an animal that Chazal say David was once watching his sheep, and he was crossing a mountain when suddenly the mountain got up and started moving, and it was this great animal, the re'im. So the re'im is some massive animal that's so big that David could walk on it and think he's walking on a mountain. Okay? Asapira shimcha le'echai betoch kahal ha'alelecha, I will tell over your names, your name, God, among my brothers. I will praise you within a congregation. We read Megillas Esther, songs of praise about how Hashem saved us. And Chazal tell us that this concept that the Nafochu, God switched it, is the way that God redeems the people throughout the generations. When it was the time of Mordechai, so we know what happened. But this happened throughout. If we look at the time of Daniel, let's start with Paro. They threw the boys into the river, so they themselves all sunk in the river. Nebuchadnezzar said, whoever doesn't bow to my idol will be thrown into the furnace. Those officers that came to throw them into the furnace were themselves burnt by the furnace. The Persians and the Medes wanted to kill Daniel. They had him thrown into the lion's den. All those who threw him in the lion's den ended up being eaten by the lions, and Daniel came out okay. So we find time and again, Haman erects this big stick, whatever it is, this pole, to hang Mordechai on, and he and his sons are hung on it the following morning. The Jews, it was decreed upon, Lashmid la'og u'laved, they'll all be annihilated, and their enemies were annihilated. So this is the way Hashem saves us throughout. When things seem worse, Hashem turns it over. Yirei Hashem halelu. Those that fear Hashem should praise Him. The Pasuk is going to speak about three groupings within the Jewish people. Yirei Hashem, Kol Zera Yaakov, the offsprings of Yaakov, V'guru Mimenu Kol Zera Yisrael, and have fear of Him, the offsprings of Israel. Zera Yisrael, the offsprings of Israel, of Yaakov, that's a reference to the average Jew. Zera Yaakov, that's a reference to the Kohanim and the Levim. Yirei Hashem, when we speak about those that are fearful of Hashem, that's a reference to the Gerei Tzedek. And we find that throughout. We find that we say it in Halal also. Yisrael betach b'Hashem, zamu maginamu. Bet Aaron, bet Alevi, tzu Hashem, zamu maginamu. Yirei Hashem, who do we end off with? Who are the Yirei Hashem? Over there too, it's a reference to the Gerim. Because as was mentioned earlier, it's not an easy thing to be a Ger. And the only way a person does this and contends with all the difficulties is because he's really Yirei Hashem. He's really in awe of God. Ki lo viza velo shikatz enut ani, because God never disgraces the affliction of the poor. Velo yistir panav mimenu, God doesn't hide His face from him. Uvshavo elav, and when He calls out to him, shamea, God listens. And here, this breaks down into a few aspects. The Esther is going to say, "Mitchati lati, from you is my praise." Bekal rav nedrai shalem nigdi reyav, I will pay off what I promised. Opposite those who fear you, in public, I will praise you for saving me. The Medrash says, ordinarily, when two people come before the judge, one's rich and one's poor, who does the judge look kindly upon? The rich. Esther just said, "No, you Hashem, you never disgrace the poor. You look at them positively." When two people come to be judged, who does the judge turn to first? The rich. Here Esther says, "Lo yistir panav mimenu, God, you never hide your face from the poor. You have extra compassion for the poor." When the rich and the poor come before Him, who does He listen to first? He listens to the rich. Here, Esther stresses, "God, you listen to the poor. You have your compassion is for them." Yochlu anavim v'isbau, yalu Hashem dorsha v'chil levavchem la'ad, etc. The rest of the verses we learned last week. We're going to end on this note, that Esther stresses that God has a special place for the poor, and the Jews in that time were the poor, they were the afflicted one. The Medrash says, Agrippas wanted one day to bring 1,000 sacrifices. So he told the Kohen Gadol, "Today, in the temple, don't accept anyone's sacrifices but mine." They're starting to process Agrippas' sacrifices, and a pauper walks in with two birds. So he tells the Kohen, "I want you to bring me to sacrifice these two birds for me." And the Kohen says, "The king commanded that no man brings a sacrifice today but him." And the pauper says to him, "My master, the Kohen Gadol, I hunt 4 birds every day. 2 I bring for myself and my family, and 2 I bring in as a sacrifice. If you don't bring these 2 as a sacrifice, you are really cutting my parnasa. That's my life. You're cutting my livelihood." So the Kohen stops bringing Agrippa's sacrifices and brings these two birds. Agrippa has a dream, and they tell him in a dream, you should know that there was a pauper whose sacrifices came before yours. So he sends word to the Kohen, and he says, didn't I tell you no one should bring a sacrifice but me on that day? So he told him, look, a poor man came to me with two birds, and he told me, please give me these, please sacrifice these for me. And I told him, the king said no. And he said to me, I hunt four every day, two I sacrifice, two I have parnasa for my family. If you don't bring them, you're destroying my parnasa. I didn't have a choice, I had to bring them. And Agrippa answered him, you did right. That's what Esther said in our verse, Kiloviza veloshikat enus ani. God never scorns, God is never disgusted with the poverty of the poor. So he felt that he wouldn't have parnasa if he didn't have these sacrifices. That this is his deal with God. 50-50. If I don't keep my end of the deal, then the other end won't come true either.